And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. All of my guests have interesting subjects, no two of which are related to each other. My first guest understands the challenges of going from being a peer at work to becoming someone's boss. We discussed how to make that transition from bud to boss without alienating friends yet maintaining effectiveness. My second guest discussed the 2012 federal budget and how President Barack Obama's budget speaks to Wall Street and ignores the voters. My next guest is on the leading edge of science and medicine. His company, Second Sight, has created a device right out of science fiction, an ocular implant that improves vision for the vision impaired. We'll discuss his device and the coming singularity between man and machine in the next 20 minutes. And as always, if you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Robert Greenberg is both a medical doctor and a PhD. He's the president and CEO of Second Sight, and he's been in that position since the company's inception in 1998. Dr. Greenberg sits on the board of directors for the Southern California Biomedical Council and the Alfred E. Mann Foundation. Prior to formation of Second Sight Medical Products, Dr. Greenberg co-managed the Alfred E. Mann Foundation. From 1997 to 1998, he served as the medical officer and lead reviewer for the IEDs and 410Ks at the U.S. Federal Food and Drug Administration in the Neurological Devices Division. From 1991 to 1997, Dr. Greenberg conducted animal and human trials demonstrating the feasibility of retinal electronic stimulation with patents and in that area. Dr. Greenberg is also a biosensor and microsensor fabrication experience from his work leading at the Whitaker Sensors Laboratory at Johns Hopkins University. He received his BS in electrical and biomedical engineering from Duke University way back in 1990. He has a degree in technical electronics from NASA Technical Institute in 1985. Dr. Greenberg has started several other small companies, including one called Campus Security, in which he designed, fabricated, and marketed an electronic intercom security system called Telekey. These intercoms are currently in use in every dormitory at Princeton, Duke University, and several other universities across the United States. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, thank you for coming on board, because you are truly a thought leader and right on the leading edge of technology and science, and I want to come to that. But what fascinated me most about your background is your work history indicates that you're a serial entrepreneur. So tell us, what's in your nature that makes you want to invent products to make life better?
That's an interesting question. I think it's mostly a curiosity. I think it stems initially from a curiosity of how things work, and from that, I think I developed an interest in trying to solve problems. And so I think it's more about trying to solve problems, and then, in my case, transitioned from electronics into medicine, and realizing that the diseases of the human body are really the ultimate problem to solve. So it's kind of an engineering approach.
Well, it is. And when you think of the human body as a biosystem, I mean, it is the most complicated machine in the world that we know of. And so, really, you're just applying your skills to a higher form of machine. Isn't that a fair statement?
Absolutely. And for me, it was a question of challenge. And I think, electronics initially were a challenge for me, and then and mechanical engineering. And really, I think the ultimate challenge, as you said, is solving some of these diseases that plague the human condition.
Well, without a doubt. And to a lot of my listeners who are not as educated as you are in the sciences, and that would include myself, the combination of engineering and medicine in many ways seems like science fiction. So explain how the two intersect and in what ways that they can improve our living conditions.
There, I think the interest in applying engineering to medicine dates back to around the 1960s when people first had this idea that you could create a pacemaker, that you could shock the heart, a heart that was beating abnormally, and with a little electric shock, you could get it to beat normally again. And I think that was really the beginning of what we now know as biomedical engineering, which is the kind of using these engineering disciplines to solve the problem. So it's and it's grown to be a fairly large industry where people are building cochlear implants to allow the deaf people to hear, and building brain stimulators that can stop the shaking that Parkinson's patients do. So it's a pretty exciting, expanding area which I got interested in from my engineering background.
Well, without a doubt. And I like the fact that you pointed out the pacemaker in the 1960s as really the first biomedical device. A lot of my listeners are maybe a little bit more familiar with the television series, The $6 Million Man. And the basic premise of that show, as you know, is that science can take an injured person and with mechanical parts make him better, faster, stronger, I think was the terminology there. But the reality is that the idea has been around since obviously before the 1960s and 70s, where we could combine not only human characteristics with robotic characteristics. And Ray Kurzweil has written about this in a book called The Singularity. So first of all, I want to ask you, and this is kind of a throwaway question, but it's my curiosity. Did watching The $6 Million Man have any influence on your career whatsoever?
Absolutely. It had a tremendous influence, actually. And I watched every episode of that and was fascinated by the series. And in fact, even Second Sight and the artificial eye, the science fiction that it could be done, for sure influenced my interest in the field.
How about that? Well, now, the other bigger question is, when you start to look at biomechanical devices, not only do you enter into the realm of science and engineering, you also enter into the world of ethics, too. And that's what Ray Kurzweil's book is all about, The Singularity, the combination of man and machine. So I want to ask you the question, are we headed down the road towards the singularity, as Kurzweil describes it?
Yes, I haven't read his book, but I am a little bit familiar with his philosophies and theories. I think Kurzweil is a futurist, and so is trying to predict what may happen. And I think it's further out than he's predicted. The challenges of making an interface between machine and humans is a great challenge, and we're on the beginning steps of that. But I think there's a lot of work to be done, and I think that there's a decent chance we could get there, but it's not going to be in the next 10 years, maybe in the next 50 to 100 years.
All right. Well, even that, 50 to 100 years isn't all that long. When you think about life expectancies a century ago, we have more than doubled the life expectancy in the poorest regions of the world over the last 100 years. So imagine what we can do in the next 100 years.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, now that brings us to your inventions and what you do there at Second Sight. So tell us about your ocular implants. You got the Argus One. That's your first experimental prototype. So first of all, what problem are you trying to solve with the Argus One?
So with the Argus implants in general, the idea was to try to restore vision to blind patients. So these are patients who are completely blind. And the reason that they're blind is the retina in the back of the eye, which is like a multi-layered cake, one layer of that cake is dead. And so it's the input layer. So the layer that normally takes the light and sends the signals back to the brain is dead in these patients. And so our concept was that you could take a few electrodes, a few small electrodes, place them on the back of the eye, inside the eye, through through a surgery, and restore vision by bypassing the dead cells, by having a video camera and a pair of glasses, and wirelessly transmitting that video camera information into this implant.
All right. Now, just to use another analogy that we've seen on television, anybody who watches Star Trek The Next Generation is familiar with Geordi and his visor. Not to oversimplify it, but is that the direction that you're talking about?
It's exactly that. That's a perfect analogy.
Okay, great. So the next question is, how close are we to human trials on your implants?
So we've been in human trials actually since 2002. So our first implant was 2002. We implanted six patients with what we call the Argus One. It was a very crude device. It was only 4x4 pixels, so 16 pixels in total. But for these patients that were completely blind, it made a big difference.
And so to help for my listeners to understand, if I was completely blind, I can't even sense light and dark, and I put in the Argus One and I get this 4x4 pixels, what does that allow me to do? Do I see shadows? Do I actually see clearly? Can I see for 100 miles like I've got binoculars? What does it actually help me to do?
Yeah, so it's very low vision. It's basically, it was the Argus One was enough to do things like locating objects, finding a door in the room, reading very large letters by scanning, by moving their head around. So it was really the first kind of crude, permanent implant. And there are still patients today. There's still two patients today using the Argus One devices in their daily life.
Wow. Now, so tell me, how did you select your humans to try this on?
Well, it was volunteers, and it was patients who had this particular disease called retinitis pigmentosa, that the back of the eye, that one layer was dead. So it was amenable to this kind of approach.
Hmm. Now, one of the big questions that listeners to this are going to say, wow, that's pretty incredible that you can do this. But as with anything, we were just talking with the guest before you about healthcare costs. So what do the devices cost, the Argus One, if you want to have the ocular implants? What does that cost typically?
Yeah, so they're not available yet in the United States. They're going to be available shortly in Europe, and when this will be the Argus 2, which has more electrodes and is smaller and is a less invasive surgery. The 60 electrode device that gets implanted completely in the eye and has a surgery that averages 3 to 4 hours to have it implanted, and it's about $100K for the device itself.
That's $100,000.
$100,000, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And do the devices have to be replaced over time? Are there upgrades that are coming down the line that you'd want to upgrade to a better version of the Argus?
Yeah, so it's intended to be a permanent implant. So the device should last a minimum of 5 years, and it's designed to last a lifetime. We've tested them out to at least 5 years. The external device, the glasses, are upgradable, and we haven't yet decided exactly how we're going to roll out those upgrades. But the externals, or what we call the externals, the glasses and the image processor, is upgradable. The implants are upgradable, but it would require another surgery and taking out the device and putting another device in.
Hmm. Okay. Now, it's interesting to me, and we didn't make this clear to my listeners at the beginning, you are a California company. You are based just down the road from where we are here at the studio in Ventura County. But my question to you is this. I first read about you from European magazines, and I first got my first inkling that you were here in California producing the Argus 1 and 2 products. So why is it that you're starting your trials in Europe, that your first patients are there, and that's where the product is going to be available first?
Yeah, this is actually a pet peeve of mine, that the regulatory systems in Europe and the U.S. are such that all new technologies end up being trialed and available first in Europe. So because the FDA is a more difficult process, and so that's really what it amounts to. So even as an American company, we were forced to go overseas first and then come back to the U.S. And we're getting ready to apply for U.S. approval through the FDA, but it's a longer process.
And let's say you apply for that approval on June the 1st of this year. Typically, how long does that approval take, Robert?
From the time you apply, it's typically a year to get approval, but even to get to the point of application is longer. For instance, last year we applied in Europe in April. We're on the verge of getting approval now in Europe. We had that same discussion with the FDA, who wanted more data and more information. So we were in the process of finishing collecting that, and that pushed back our application date a year.
Hmm. We're talking to Robert Greenberg, everybody. We're talking about ocular implants, the Argus 1 and 2, and his company titled Second Sight. Let me go back to the founding of your company, because I find that this is a fascinating story, too, Robert. Tell us about how and why you and your partner, Sam Williams, started Second Sight.
Well, so there were a number of people involved in starting Second Sight. I, at the time, I was working at the Alfred Mann Foundation for another serial entrepreneur, Alfred Mann, who had actually had a pacemaker company and in the past, and also had a cochlear implant company for the eye, for the ear, sorry. So Sam Williams was an investor who was blind with RP, and he was an investor in Advanced Bionics that made the cochlear implant, and he asked Al Mann one day, could this concept work for the eye, the same concept that allows deaf people to hear, could we electronically allow blind people to see? And Alman said, well, I'm not really sure, but there's a fellow who worked in my, who's working in my nonprofit research foundation who did some work at Johns Hopkins with a couple surgeons there, and why don't you go talk to him? And we had a conversation, and he thought this would be great. And Sam actually called Alman back and said, I'd like to fund a project to do this. And Alman said, okay, let's, you know, Rob's working in our nonprofit research foundation, let's do it there. And Sam actually was the one who said, no, I'm an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur. I think this will happen faster if we do it as a for-profit company and give all the employees stock options.
Wow.
I think he was right.
And we're going to have to leave it there. We've been talking to Robert Greenberg, everybody, the CEO of Second Sight Ocular Implants. Robert, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.